It's game time, driven by Briggs Auto Lane and BriggsAuto.com. Get in the game.
Here we go!
Yeah, it feels good to be back here behind this microphone. It's been forever. I've been gone for like a week. We finally have the gang back, at least two-thirds of it. As Mitch Fortner will be gone the rest of the week, but I'm John Kurtz. I'm back here on the game today. We got a great show. Brad Underwood, I think you know him, head coach of the Oklahoma State Cowboys, former K-State assistant. We talked to him. He'll be on the show at 5:10. You'll hear that interview. And at 4:25, Kellis Robinette of the Kansas City Star and Wichita Eagle will join us as well. I'm going to ask Kellis if he will be willing to wear one of those masks if I can procure one for him tonight at the game. So stay tuned for that today on the show. You can't be serious, as always, at 5:50 as well. It feels good, man. I'm not going to lie. It's been a long time. I miss doing this.
Yeah.
You take me away from it for a week, I do miss it.
Well, when was our last full show with both of us?
I left on Thursday morning. Did we have a full show on Wednesday? I'm trying to remember. I think it literally may have been a week ago.
Okay.
I think we did have a show on Wednesday. For some reason, I was thinking maybe it was short, but...
No, it was, because we had a basketball game, so it was a one-hour show.
Oh, that's right. The Iowa State game tipped early. Yeah. So it's been since Tuesday, I think, then. And maybe I had Manhattan.
No,
I don't
Manhattan,
know, man.
You had Manhattan time. Basketball. It was the week
point
before.
Is, it's been forever. It's been forever. But we're back and ready to roll here. So I feel good about that. Okay. Today is the day that I think a lot of people had circled on their calendars for a little while, because Brad Underwood is coming back into Bramlage Coliseum. And certainly we're going to talk a lot about that. I've got some evidence that a lot of the noise on the outside about Bruce Weber and the program is getting through to the players. You'll hear that audio at 5:25. We'll get into the Brad Underwood stuff. We got basically three straight hours here to go. We're going to have Powercat game day at 6 o'clock, so you have 3 hours of pregame essentially leading up to the game tonight. But I think we go even bigger picture than Brad Underwood and what him being here means as far as the biggest thing with K-State hoops right now. Now, it's been a long time, and a lot has happened since I've been able to sit here and talk about K-State basketball, because the last time I did it was before the Iowa State game. Very disappointing home loss. Then they go on the road and steal one from Texas by getting a tip in. Probably not fair to say stole. They led most of that game. But they got away with a win late in the Texas game. To me, I think it's becoming clearer and clearer as the season rolls on. We are heading straight for an incredibly intriguing offseason. No matter what side of the aisle you are on, it's going to be very, very interesting to see what plays out and what happens. Because point number one, it's becoming more and more likely that K-State is not going to be headed into the tournament on a real run here. They continue to not be able to show any kind of consistency. They've only won back-to-back Big 12 games once this entire season. The Iowa State game's bad. They're having problems winning at home. But they're still able to go jump up and win road games. So it's not like they're going to lose out and miss the tournament. I don't think that's going to happen either. But I think there's a good chance that this team goes, you know, we were talking about that last six-game stretch, that by the end of it, they're 3-3, and they're 8-10. Maybe they go 4-2, and they're 9-9, and that's where they're going to be, and it's going to be fairly disappointing. But at the same time, they're still going to make the tournament. The bubble is just so, so weak. They're still going to make the tournament. I think that's where we start with all this. To me, I think they'll be 8-10, 9-9, just because they can't string enough together, but that's still going to get them in.
The question is, how much does that matter? And to a lot of fans, I don't think it matters very much. To some, maybe a little bit. But that's where you bring tonight's game into the conversation, because I think that tonight is K-State's last chance, except for the NCAA tournament, to do anything that would make the fans actually feel good about the direction of the program. And that just comes down to the simple fact that this is the last team with a pulse that K-State is really going to play. I mean, yes, they play at TCU, and TCU is in a similar position in terms of the bubble, but tonight's game actually feels like it means a little something to K-State. At least I think you're not going to have very many of those chances after tonight.
I understand what you're saying, but I think I get the vibe that you're almost trying to talk yourself into that. I just think what we've seen from a lot of these
games... Trying to talk you into that.
Well, I feel like you're trying to talk yourself into it, because it's really not. I mean, Oklahoma State is red hot. They've won 8 of 9, but they're a 7-7 team in the Big 12. And yeah, their RPI is decent. And yes, there is the Brad Underwood thing, but they won at Baylor. And Kellis told me he had people more angry in his mentions after the Baylor win than he did after the Kansas loss. Like, people were even frustrated by winning a top five road game. I don't think I've seen any real change in the general tone of the fan base after winning at Texas. I'm just not sure that any one individual game the rest of the way makes any kind of difference, even if it is Brad Underwood at Oklahoma State here tonight, which is a part of why I think we are headed for this incredibly intriguing offseason, because I don't think there's, short of them making a run to the Sweet 16, and this is a conversation that we've been having for weeks now, that to me is the only way that they put together anything that really generates excitement and gets a lot of people to switch and be in support of where things are going right now. So basically what you're going to have is a scenario where we said at the beginning of the year, it's tournament or bust, it's tournament or bust. A lot of people felt like the general consensus was he's got to make the tournament to keep things going the way that they are, to not have a coaching change. You're going to have him in the tournament, but it's not going to be how people like it, and people are still going to be disappointed by the general direction of the program. And it's because the bubble is so weak. You were pointing out to me some of the stuff that's happened earlier this week and teams that are still like in contention for the tournament, like Clemson, who was 14-13.
Yeah.
The bubble's weak, man.
Yeah.
The bubble's weak, which, one, makes it all the more disappointing that you've gone two straight years not being in the tournament, looking at how it really is right now. But two, it means you can make it and still have what I think a lot of people would feel is a pretty disappointing season. And so what do you do then? What do you do then?
I don't know. I don't know. That's why we're talking about this, isn't it? That's why it's intriguing going into the offseason, because that is an itch. Getting to the tournament is an itch that K-State fans need to be scratched. But I think that K-State fans are smart enough to realize that you do not have to be heading in a great direction as a program just to make the NCAA tournament. Does that make sense? Like you do not
right.
have to not making the tournament last year and making it this year, those two facts just standing alone as themselves mean absolutely nothing about the possibility of K-State being a Sweet 16 team or a top four team in the Big 12 a year from now. I think that K-State very easily could be another 8-10, 9-9 type team next year, and then depending on how the bubble is, which has nothing to do with K-State, that's out of their control, may or may not make the tournament. And that probably would not be good enough for fans at that point in time. Is it good enough at this point in time? I don't know. Depends on who you ask.
And I think what I have become increasingly more enlightened to is that it seems like most people are not okay with that just being what happens
right.
this year.
Well, when I say
which surprises me, by the way. I have been surprised by how it's seemingly more people right now frustrated with the program than on the other side.
When I ask, is that enough, I'm actually not asking it of the fans so much as I am the people that actually make these decisions.
Yeah, right.
Right.
But the fans do play a big role.
Yeah.
The fans play a big role in this. If they felt strongly one way or the other, certainly that has some kind of influence. Now, how much influence? I don't know.
It depends on what the fans with the money
True.
Have to say
depends
about
on what fans exactly we're talking about. But there's so many moving parts here, and just – I think so much fluctuation in terms of what could happen, what will happen, so many different ways all this could go, that I think our point is being made by all the little branch-off discussions we're having here about just how interesting things are going to get. And some people may be listening to this thinking, well, interesting, man. I'm frustrated and angry and upset about the direction of the program. Okay, look, I get it, but still is interesting. It's something that has your interest, whether or not
because
you're upset and angry and, you know, want to throw stuff at the TV every night, whatever it is, you're still interested. It's still something that's going to captivate everybody's attention span.
The reason is because coming into this season, I think that for most people, if you would have said K-State's making the tournament this year, they would have felt a lot better about Bruce Weber's job status than the current situation that we're in. If you just would have told me back in August or September, K-State goes 9-9 in the Big 12, they're an 8 seed in the NCAA tournament, I would have taken that. I think that that would have bought Bruce Weber another year, no questions asked. And I think that a lot of the fan base, the majority of the fan base, would have thought that same thing. But seeing how things have panned out, with the opportunities being there to be better than they've been, and the fact that they may only get into the tournament because the bubble is particularly weak, both with the Power Five conferences and the mid-majors, that has to be taken into consideration.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that has made me more leery about what next year looks like, even if they do sneak in backdoor into the tournament at 8-10, 9-9, whatever it is in the Big 12. That's how they played against West Virginia and Iowa State, basically without DJ Johnson, who's not going to be there next year. You know, if you listen to the show, I think he's the most valuable player on the team, and therefore not having him next year. How much is Isaiah Maurice playing right now?
They don't even. I get it.
They don't trust that dude to be on the floor very much at all right now. And newsflash, he's your most experienced big, basically, coming back next year. If you want to count Dean Wade, I suppose that's fine. But it's going to be like him, James Love, and I forget the freshman kid's name that played against Topeka in the Topeka Invitational Tournament. Anyway, Levi Stockard.
Levi Stockard, yeah.
You know, I mean, you're looking at that as your bigs next year.
Well, see, that's the thing. You know how many guys transferred in D1 last year? 700. 700 players transferred. So I think that that's going to be absolutely crucial for K-State. They've got to hit that transfer market and find a number five guy. I mean, we're still talking a couple of months down the road that K-State would be exploring that after this season is over. But, yes, you do have to go out and find a five guy that is not just 6'9 or 6'10, but has some girth, some guy that can actually hold his own in the paint because, I mean, as of today, Isaiah Maurice isn't going to get that done. James Love isn't going to get that done. Dean Wade isn't.
And, you know, we could break down, like, the X's and O's of all that. But I guess my point is, I don't think it's a slam dunk that you look at it right now and say, well, this team will be better next year, so sneaking into the tournament right now is good enough because they'll be better next year. To me, the jury is all the way out on that. So that's why all this becomes just an incredibly, incredibly intriguing offseason. Things could change. Maybe they go on a run and win out here the rest of the way in the regular season. Maybe they do make a run in the NCAA tournament after getting in there. There is a lot that is subject to change. But the more this basketball season drags on and the more we see the team just up and down, you don't know what they are, you don't know, there's no consistency, I can't trust them to say that they're going to do anything definitively to win people over. And that is going to set up for a lot of tough decisions that'll have to be made. We've got coming up today on the show at 5:10, the coach of the Oklahoma State Cowboys, former Wildcat, Brad Underwood. You'll hear our conversation with him about what he thinks, K-State fans seemingly being jealous that he took the Oklahoma State job, as well as what he misses the most about Manhattan. He gave us a great answer on that. When we come back, though, we'll have Kellis Robinette, our friend from the Kansas City Star and Wichita Eagle, on the show here. We'll ask Kellis what his theory is on why this team wins on the road right now but not at home. You're listening to The Game.